Hello, everybody. My name is Mark. I am the Prepper Guy, and this will be episode 35. So today I was going to talk a little bit about prepping because we've been all over the map on politics and the FBI and Oregon. So I've been recently putting some of my episodes on YouTube, and I thought I need to focus back down into prepping a little bit more. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So stay tuned and we'll get right on it.
Hump day! Yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Okay, well, I have here a rather large list of doomsday scenarios, starting from the apocalypse to social collapse. We have the 2012 phenomenon, which obviously didn't happen. Alien invasions. Oh, geez. Just a big crunch. Let's see here if we can find some more of them. Death in the skies, earth changes, ecocide. What else do we have? We got a lot of them here. If you look at a big list, floods, gamma ray burst, gray goo, heat death from the universe, human overpopulation, an ice age, an impact event, then the pursuing impact winter, kinetic bombardment, which I would think would also be from an impact. We have a list of planet killers here, near-Earth supernovas, nemesises, New World Order, pandemic, polar shift, solar flare, supervolcanoes, and that's just a small list. It goes on and on. And so I think one time I found a list with over 200 or more fairly plausible doomsday scenarios that could happen if everything lines up that way. But me personally, I don't think that preparing for a specific doomsday event is really why we should be preparing, because as I've said before, then you end up with a lot of gear that is very specific to one type of situation, and if one of those 200 other things happens, you might be kind of left in the cold, so to speak, if all your planning was for biological. Or a solar flare, an EMP, atomic bombs. So I've been putting together my podcasts on YouTube, and I did a series a while back on getting into prepping, and it was a four-part series, and I started thinking about it going, you know, we need to be prepared, but I don't think we need to be prepared for one thing. That would be like worrying so much about a flat tire that you have four spares, but then on a road trip your car overheats and you have no water because you have all these spare tires taking up room. You don't even have room in there for all your clothing. So you can kind of see, if you put on your thinking hat, that being specific, unless you've been prepping for a long, long time and you have specific preparations for any kind of event because you're pretty well squared away on the basics, then you might want to branch into other things that you see maybe being a plausible outcome of this chaos we live in called life. So I wanted to just kind of ask the question again, why do you prepare? Why have all this stuff? Why have any stuff? Well, the answer is pretty simple. I mean, we prepare for everything every day, whether it's building a doghouse or, you know, rearranging the furniture. I mean, we prepare. We go, well, I'm going to move the TV over on that side of the house, so I need to make sure I have cable over there or satellite or Wi-Fi. So these are all little things we do in preparation for a project. Well, the big project would be being prepared for some kind of life-changing circumstance, whether it's a job, you lose your job or you get hurt or something like that, that would be pretty much almost a life extinction event to you and your family. So how do you prepare for that? And we already know why, because there's thousands of things that can happen to us that would answer the why. But what about the big how? How do we do this? Well, in my four-part series, I kind of talked about starting with just camping, because that is your most basic prepping knowledge or skills that you might want to have, is being able to go camping for a few days and not have the whole family have a mutiny on you and leave you sleeping in the tent while they take the car and go home. So I think the first step should be just learning to camp. Now, if you are pretty much a seasoned camper and you and your family enjoy that, I want you to factor out RVing and all the fun stuff we take with us when we go camping. Because I've always said that if you have all your gear with you in a situation, then really you're camping. It's when you have nothing with you that you're in a survival situation. So camping would most likely be the basics, roughing it, as it's been called. How do we go out camping with maybe a tent, our stuff in our backpack, the basic gear? And you don't want it to be miserable, but you do want to have your basic gear, but you do want it to be challenging. And you want to slowly bring your family into that, whether it's through family camp trips regularly to where they've all grown up into it, or if you're new to this and you're like, I got to get them into this way of thinking, you want to make it fun for them. So you can start out camping a little bit more cushy, because what you're going to do in that first step of just going out camping is start learning what the needs are of each member of your family or team and how you would meet those needs if it was a survival situation. So if you have a child with special needs or special medication or a member of the family that has to take certain things, that's going to become pretty high on your priority list. And then as you go camping, you run into these little, oh crap, I forgot this, oh darn, I should have brought that, situations to where you can write it down. And if you do this enough, eventually then when you go camping, you will have a pretty good list of what you need to grab. Each child or member of the family or team would have their own bag and stuff that they want to take with them each time you go camping. And you start fine-tuning it for each member. And then you start getting rid of some of the fluff and maybe move it into more of a, we're going to drive out here, but then I want to hike in for a mile or two and camp. Wouldn't that be fun? Kind of like hunting. And so then you can start getting them to remove some of the more comfort items that they're going to have to carry, because as the dad, you're not going to carry it all for them. And then once you have that figured out, so you've come to a pretty good place to where you know what you need, and each member of the family knows what they need, because if they didn't have it and it wasn't a life or death thing, then they might have went the weekend without their favorite whatever. So you start teaching them at an early age, and you also start learning what is important and what is not. So that was my big thing on the four-part series. And then we talked about how once you get your camping down and everyone's needs, then you can figure out more important things as far as diet and food. Because, I mean, the first couple trips, you might take a lot of Pop-Tarts with you and whatever makes them happy. But eventually, you're going to want to get them into thinking, what if there was no Pop-Tarts? What if there was no cell phone? And see, if it's just a weekend, your kids aren't going to revolt on that. They're going to be like, oh, that'd be fun. Hopefully. So if you make it fun for them, then you can slowly start dragging them over to a reality position to where they could say, let's go camping and pretend that the world is into dad. And so you grab all your minimum stuff and you just maybe drive a few miles out and then hike up to a favorite camp place that the kids like or something. It doesn't have to be like a big giant trip up somewhere out of town for days. Just something, and if you get them into the fun of it, while there is any fun left in it, because when the real thing happens, you want them to be kind of prepared. So it's best to teach with fun examples. So if you have some adventurous boys in the family or even an adventurous girl, and she's like, let's pretend that the power went out because of that ice storm that we went through last month, and see how we would do, because we got to leave because the zombies are coming. And you go, yeah, let's do that. And then you start grooming them to knowing, more importantly, what they need in their pack. So go, okay, we're going to do this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake you up Saturday morning or Friday evening before we leave. And I'm going to say, let's go. So make sure you got all your stuff together and always have it ready for one of these quick, fun experiments that we're going to go do as kids. And in doing it that way, you're making it fun, because the end of the world's only going to suck when the world ends. All the way up to it, while we're prepping and being prepared and teaching our family and stuff how to do it, it can be fun, because you will learn just as much from having fun as you will from having a miserable time. And I would say that you probably learn a lot more as a child having fun, because learning is a thing that we're very visual creatures, and we associate things with certain types of memories and visuals, to where if they go, oh yeah, I remember when we were pretending that all the zombies had come. And you'll see that in them when you're watching some goofy zombie movie, and they go, oh, remember we did that? And we actually went up there and we were pretending. And so they're learning, and it doesn't have to be a college lecture with a quiz and a test at the end. Just trust in the fact that if you're teaching them the basics, even though it's in a fun situation or a fun environment, they are learning. So once you get to that point, you've pretty well aced getting your mindset around prepping for you and your family or your team members, whatever it is. You know, a lot of militia groups and team groups will go out and do, you know, training and stuff for shooting and all that, and they will have team A, team B, and they might dress as zombies or whatever they do, but they're still learning from the fun of it, even though there's some hardcore learning going on in that. So try to look at it that way. You want to make this fun, because you are, if you're dealing with children, there's no more bigger pessimist than kids that are not having a good time. And then you can, once you've got that figured out, you pretty well know where their eating habits are. Now, as a parent, this is more important and contingent on what you have decided is a nutritional diet for them. In spite of the fact that your kids might only want to eat Pringles and drink soda pop, and then yet you're a health food nut. That doesn't make sense to me, because once you start getting that garbage out of the house, it's easier to start teaching them why you're eating that way. And if they're really into camping and you've gotten them so into survival, they might look at it and go, oh yeah, I'd much rather carry this than that. I remember last time I wanted to take a six-pack of pop and my pack was too heavy, so I had to leave it on the side of the trail. These are things that start incorporating into it. But as the parent, you are the one that should determine their eating needs. And so that puts a big responsibility on you to understand the importance of good nutrition. And it's not just reading all the medical folklore and listening to someone on the radio or me or anybody or some new book that Dr. Oz wrote, but he didn't write it. He just took all these feel-good talking points and threw them in a book. You really want to know biochemistry and how your body works, so your kids aren't going to be overweight. They're not going to end up with bigger problems as they grow up. If the world never ends and you have an obese kid, that's something he's going to have to fight his whole life with, his how he feels about himself and the all the challenges that will be on him as a grown-up or her. So I know people that work out at the gym where my wife works out that are quite overweight, and it's a real struggle for them. And now they've reached a point to where they want to do something about it in their 20s, late 20s, or early 30s, that if their parents would have taught them better, younger, they might not have struggled with a weight problem for the last 15, 20 years. So as a parent, it's incumbent upon you to learn these things and to teach them, just like gun safety is very important for you as a parent to understand all the ins and outs of gun safety and shooting before you teach it to your children. You don't just read some goofy blog one time written by some person that doesn't like guns or really likes guns, that maybe grew up in a military family and knows a lot about it but isn't saying what's important about it. So nutrition is that way also, because when you have to bug out in a real situation, You don't want to have to leave all of your good stuff behind because you can't pack it all. And if it was an EMP or some social collapse or something horrible to where you can't get on the road and you're going to have to hoof it out, you don't want your whole plan built around a large larder that's all in your basement that weighs tons, because you're not going to have it. I'm sure the people that loot your house will be real thankful for that, but that doesn't do you any good. So you want to always keep in mind, worst case scenario, if I can only grab certain things and I have to leave, I want them handy and I want to be able to get them with me and go. So you need to learn that, and it'll help your kids when they go to college and aren't eating right, that maybe eating on a bag of jerky is much better than a bowl of Top Ramen soup. So that's the important step in that, is you yourself have to learn the importance of why diet and nutrition is important, because it's diet and nutrition is not going to the gym or once a year saying you're going to lose weight. It's a lifestyle. You can lose weight without ever stepping foot in a gym, because nutrition and fitness are worlds apart. You can go to a gym and work out 24/7 and not lose weight if you're eating wrong. You'll be strong, but you'll be overweight. So these are things you need to learn. Also, try to get your children into activities that are more gear-centric toward a bug-out situation. If they're going to play soccer, sure, that's great for them at a certain age to learn little group dynamics and all that. But if you're going to be spending a lot of money on your daughter and she wants to be in gymnastics, well, gymnastics in a survival situation are not as important as maybe if you'd gotten her into BMX mountain biking, because you're going to spend the same money on all the gear and even classes, if you want, as you will with gymnastics. But at the end of the day, she's gotten in good shape, she's got good cardio, and she's got some really good gear that she'll be able to use the rest of her life, even if she outgrows some of it, because bags, they're backpack bags, you just buy another one. But it's the overall gear, a good mountain bike. So you can get into hiking. So if these are the sports you drag their heads into, then they're going to be more apt to say, I need a new pack, I need new hiking boots, I need to learn this. And every time you spend a dollar on that, that's a dollar that will be with them for years to come, as opposed to a pair of soccer shoes they grew out of, or a sport they ended up not liking, but you spent a lot of money on jerseys and team things, whatever they milk us to death with on all that. So always keep your big picture in mind way down the road of why you're prepping, but try not to make it so boring or ho-hum that your kids can't get involved with you, because that's the greatest thing. If your family is involved with you, it makes it so much more fun. So once you've gotten the camping down and you got your diet figured out and you got them all into it, then there's really not a lot left to do. You know, if your diet is going to be predominantly growing food and a plant-based diet more so than meat, then you can go into learning gardening. And this is just a whole nother skill that they're going to learn at home that costs the same amount of money as any other dopey skill. But this one will go with them because it's knowledge. It stays. You nail it in there and it stays put. So if they're going to do more into gardening, then that's something great that they're learning. And if you look at the older kids from other generations, they had 4-H and all these things, and they were very involved in gardening and animal husbandry and stuff, which is a knowledge that will stay with them forever, as opposed to maybe a weekend, you know, whatever group thing they went on to learn poetry reading, which is all fine and dandy, not talking bad about poetry because I like it, but you always want to plant seeds that will grow over the years, and it helps you save money and give them more for that dollar, because even though they won't realize it now, that will all stay with them. I still have a tent that I bought back in high school when we went camping one time, and it's an old Coleman pup tent made out of canvas. I've waterproofed it and patched it and everything. That bad boy is great. It's not too big. It's canvas. It's very well insulated because of the material. I can throw a bunch of leaves and weeds on top of it, and it's even more insulated. It doesn't leak. I still have that. I mean, we're talking a long time since I was in high school. Trust me. As I graduated in 73, I think I bought that back in 1970. So we're looking at 36 years that I've had that tent and taken good care of it. So how much did I spend per year on that tent? A dollar, maybe two, even back then. So these are the things that you kind of want to focus on, because we don't know if the end of the world's going to come tomorrow or 10 years from now. And by the looks of it, most of the time it seems like it's going to happen tomorrow. But I've been hearing that a long time, and these doom and gloomers, if you really study their words and what they're saying, they're probably selling something and they want you to buy into it and buy a program. So doom and gloom is great maybe for a wake-up call to where you go, holy shit, we barely missed that one or whatever. But if it gets you focused in the right direction, then you're looking at life going, I need to be ready for the unknown. And so it's not a bad thing. The military plans and has contingency plans and ways of figuring out what could happen, just so they're ready and they're efficient if that time comes. And some of them plans have never happened, but they still got a lot of knowledge out of it that transfers into something else. So when you got your diet figured out, then you can go toward the gardening or trapping and hunting. You might want to do both, but that's fine if your whole family's involved. You might have some ones that are really into gardening. You might have a member of the family that really enjoys going hunting with you or learning trapping and this. So your group, being your family, now is pretty well diverse in a lot of areas and what plants are edible and the growing season. Because see, for bugging out, a growing season isn't ideal. You're not going to plant a tomato plant and an avocado tree and have dinner tomorrow night. You can go out and trap dinner and eat it fresh that night. So they both work, they both have their rules. And if you're going to be into an agricultural based diet, then you're going to really want to start going in toward an area to where you can grow, where there's water and maybe some already established farms that you might have set up, or someone else that'll let you work with them in a bad situation. But overall, if you just got to grab your stuff and run, that's why they call it a get out of Dodge or a good bag or crap hits the fan, you're not going to be able to take all them plants with you. You're not going to be able to eat them for weeks or months if they're seedlings. And the only thing those seeds are going to be good for are cooking in a soup and eating it. So learn to hunt, and then you're in good shape. So I never did a wrap-up on my four-part thing, and maybe this is more of it than that. Is just like when you really sit down and try to figure out, what am I doing and why, as far as prepping, you'll notice that you've kind of gotten into a rut. You might have looked at it and went, oh, there's too much to understand, or I got it all figured out. But you need to kind of revisit that from time to time and go, am I still squared away? Have I changed? You know, I have a big giant gun collection, but what is the one gun or two that I can take with me if I really had to just bolt in the middle of the night? You grab your bag and you go. Now, I don't have a bug out bag. I have my backpack, and it's packed with all the basics, and then all I got to do is grab some guns, some ammo, and out the door I go. And, you know, that is my bug out bag, which also happens to be my backpacking bag because I like to backpack. I don't get to do it enough, but that doesn't mean I don't have the equipment to do it. And if I had to leave, that one bag is my bag. So it's always packed for hiking. It's always packed for bug out. Weighs too much. It's still about 38 pounds, but I have a lot of gear in there that's not even food. That's just the gear I need as a ginormous extended everyday carry. I'll shoot my food on the way out of town. So I'm not going to rob or steal or loot. I'm just going to eat all them animals that have been taking care of themselves for hundreds of years along the trail that I'm going to hike on. So I'm going to try to figure out if I can kind of wrap this up and make a little sense out of it. Learn to hike or camp or bike and make it into a family thing, because all of your gear will transfer and is adaptable to a bug out situation, and so are all the skills and the knowledge you acquire doing that. Pick your diet and learn a lot about nutrition, because it's actually really simple when you boil it down. The media has made it complicated because they're selling you products, but cavemen had it figured out. You know, birds are still eating the same way birds ate 100,000 years ago. And I'm pretty sure the human animal requires the same nutrients that it did 100,000 years ago. It's pretty simple. Once you read a few big books on biochemistry, you go, oh, it boils down to these three things. Figure it out for your family, and then that way it's easier to pack in and out if you have to. And then I would say pretty much knowing where you're going to go, which you could, I try to look at my area and just from camping and four-wheel driving and going, I would go here because it looks really desolate, but I know where all the water is. I go here, I could go there. And then we go hike those areas just for, you know, shits and giggles, but I know where they are. I don't think too many people are going to head to the hills, because all those articles I've read about, you know, everyone's going to go to the hills and why you shouldn't leave your fortress or your retreat don't make sense, because on one side they'll sit there and go, don't go to the hills because everyone's going to go to hills. And then the number five or six in that list is no one's going to be able to get it out of town because all the roads are going to be jammed up, so you might as well stay put. It's like, well, you just said everyone's going to the hills and now nobody can leave, so I can't leave, but I could have left. It's all very complicated. Find some areas that most people don't know about, you know, not your general, you know, Forest Service campsite, but I mean those weird places that you literally have to walk into, and while you were stumbling around, you found it and you go, this is a great place. And as you talk to people about hiking and camping, you're like, yeah, we were up in the hills somewhere and found this really great cave with water. If 10 people you're talking about going, oh yeah, that one over there, then you pretty well much know that it's been found out too. But if they're like, oh, I've never heard of that, then you've got a pretty safe place. If they want to know where it is, give them some directions off the other direction. Unless you trust that person would want to show up and have them there too, because they're also a good person to have around you in a bad situation, then you could tell them where you're going. But I avoid teams. But if someone ends up in my location where I'm going to go, I'd much rather it was people I know that are on the same mindset, that aren't a bunch of goofy, crazy people. I think being prepared is one of the more important things of everything we do every day in life, whether we're preparing for a vacation to an island. It's all prepping. They've just given prepping a bad name. And so to keep your family from thinking, oh, Dad is one of those doom and gloomers, just make it about camping, family vacations, family fun time. And if your kids are that age to where they're into zombies, then let's go camping. We're going to pretend the town's been overrun by zombies and we have to get out of town. Take a bunch of paintball equipment and some zombie targets and just have a great time. No matter what they're into, they will enjoy it, because that's what kids do. They enjoy stuff. We're not so much, but they are into having a good time. So being prepared can either be derogatory or very positive. And it's up to you as the one in charge, the one that's caught the vision and went, I'm not sure what could happen, but by the looks of it, something could happen. I want my kids to be ready for that. I want my kids to be the ones that if they're out with a bunch of their friends as they get older and they get lost in the forest, I want it to be my kids that go, oh, well, that way's east and this way's west, so north, south. I remember by looking at the map the other day before we came that there is a small town or a river just over that ridge there to the north. Let's go that way. And all the friends would be like, oh, boy, yeah, Bear Grylls. Whoa. But I want them to be that one that knows pretty much what to do in a oh crap situation, to where they know how to handle it and they're not afraid to just go, oh, now we need to go this way. And And if they're smart about it, they won't tell them they're preppers because then they'll get harassed too. Just go, no, I just was looking at the map the other day for something else and I just, we need to go that way. There's water there. And I think that's where we were heading anyway. Maybe we'll get found again. It's hard to get lost in America because no matter where you land, if you are catapulted out into the mountains, you're going to land on a park ranger or a tourist. So you just want to have your head together and your wits about you long enough to get found. And if your children are the ones that literally know how to start a fire with a 9-volt battery, or they have a good pocket knife or something to where they can make a bow drill set because they've done it as a challenge because it was fun, and maybe you even got them into scouting, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I know those have all gotten kind of squishy lately, but at least they're learning some skills and building their confidence. Wouldn't it be nice to you know, for one of the kids' parents to go, yeah, they were all out there lost as hell, and your son just walked them right over to the water and then up the stream to the ranger station, and that was pretty good because my son was really scared, even though he won't admit it. Those are the kids that I want growing up in America these days to understand just basically how to stay alive, and then all the other information we gather is good. It's handy to know how to do webs and sites and how to use your phone. And I don't want to be the grandparent that's always going to my grandkids and going, how do I fix this? It's broken. You know, so all knowledge is useful, but there is basic knowledge that is life saving, you know, so little EMT classes, a little fire starting classes, all that. That is why we prep. We don't prepare for doomsday scenario number 29.5, because that one might not happen. 29.10 might happen, which is totally different. So my preps are to stay alive in any situation other than getting shot. So I hope that kind of helps you get it in the right direction and get thinking a little bit more about prepping, because it is important. I know I got to apologize for so much political talk lately, but in case we hadn't noticed, there's an election coming up and there's just so many fun issues to talk about. I'm more of a fan of a sovereign state situation, and I know if I had a good sheriff and a good county and good people in city and chief of police and all that, I really don't care who the president is, because they can scare you with this Second Amendment and go, if we don't elect the right guy, we're going to lose our Second Amendment. Horse crap. You know, they've been saying that for 40 years too. And you know what? The Supreme Court has had opinions on that going back before I was born. And so no one opinion is going to eliminate it. But one thing's for sure, if your sheriff tells the chief of police in his county, we're not enforcing that law, and they understand that they get their marching orders from the sheriff and they can ignore federal laws, well, then do I really got to worry about it at all? No, because my sheriff's not going to arrest me because I got a gun in my car, because he's not a dumbass. So that's why I talk about politics a lot, and it is top of mind for now. But I thought I need to drag this conversation back to a little bit more of prepping. And like I've said in the past, our political leaders and the political world in which we live will be the number one cause of why we may have to bug out someday, no matter what it is, whether they start an economic collapse or they screw something up or they start a revolution through a false flag or they just do something so damn dopey like let a virus out by accident because they were studying it for science or whatever. It's going to be them clowns in charge in Washington that are going to cause whatever it is, unless it's a solar flare or a tidal wave from an impact from a meteor, because I don't think they could stop that if they wanted to. But all the rest of the ones, if you read that big long list, would pretty much be because government and our leaders have dropped the ball again. So that's pretty much why I talk about politics a lot. And a lot of times people go, well, Mark, this has nothing to do with prepping. It kind of has everything to do with prepping as a motivator of why I prep. So that's, I think, about as much as I can talk about this. I want to thank you all once again for listening. And I think we're going to continue to talk about politics and some of the projects I've started. But for now, this one is on prepping. I hope you enjoyed it.
Our online store, DoomsdayDepot.com, that's Doomsday with a Z as in Zoom, lets you zoom into products selected by a prepper for preppers. Don't get lost looking for the supplies you need. Find them and great values, too, at our online store. And you can always learn more at ThePrepperGuy.com, too.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to PrepperGuy.com. Read the show notes and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's DoomsdayDepot.com for any end of the world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.